Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of Monday Night Live. We're back another week. We didn't get kicked off the air. We are still both blocked by Ryback, but what can you do? It's a Monday. I'm Kenny. I'm joined by Sean Ross Sapp. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. A little bit bummed to find out that I was blocked by Ryback. I didn't know until you posted that you were blocked, but then I was like, you know what? I know what this is from. So there you go.
Well, because the thing that was funny about it was, so I saw he'd like wished death on Dave Meltzer and then deleted it, which is fine, but like he did.
It's not really fine at all. That's horrible.
But it's like he did it, right? That's what it is. So I then was like, I'm gonna have a little bit of fun with this, and I'm just gonna say, I didn't say anything bad about him. I just said what I thought he said was terrible, and I was like, I'm not gonna tag him because I bet he vanity searches himself. Like I bet for sure. And then he did, and he blocked me, but I hadn't seen the block. So then somebody sent me a thing saying, hey, he's responded to you. And then he blocked me. And it's like, and then all these people that like you came forward, Adam Pacitti came forward. Like, it was like it was almost like a game to see who's not blocked by Ryback at that point.
I think it's just a media thing at this point. He just blocks anybody associated with that. But then one of my writers, Jeremy Lambert, very talented writer, he posted, yeah, he had me blocked, and then he unblocked me because I covered his interview with Chris Van Vliet. So he was happy about that. But my thing was, like, he had this guy, this absolute dweeb on who buys followers or uses an app to spam followers. And I had said to him several times, like, please take me off of this. Please stop doing this. It's really annoying. And we had a little back and forth. And he goes on Ryback's show and says, oh, yeah, Sean Ross Sapp said that you did the same thing. And I was like, I've never said anything of the sort. Ryback was on WWE television for like a decade. He was like, he probably has a huge following. Like, I don't know nor care how he gets his. And I'd actually talked to Ryback multiple times, and he was very nice and helpful in stories that I was working on. So I messaged him and I was like, hey, by the way, just so you know, that guy lied to you. I didn't say anything like that. Never heard from him. Next time I even thought of him was, I got blocked.
Wait, the funny thing is, and because I don't want to, you know, rag on him too bad, but like I know stuff that I could say, but like I wouldn't say it. But the one thing I can say is that when he left in 2016, I think it was, like there were two, you know, he left, I'm sure, not too far before or after Cody left, and it's like Cody basically went everywhere. And he did every show, and he would help out smaller promoters, and he would go to big places, and he did everything. And look where he is now. And Ryback chose not to do any of that stuff, and now he is doing the blocking on Twitter. It's a bit of a shame, but it is what it is. It's just that it's an interesting way to spend your weekend. The only other person that I'm sort of prolifically blocked by is Kalisto.
Oh really? How'd you manage that? He's so nice.
So it was years ago when he was in a feud with Rusev, and I like made a joke on Twitter where I said, like, you know, Kalisto better not, and this is very British humor, but like Kalisto better not beat Rusev or I'll batter him. And he blocked me, and I was like, oh God, like, get a thicker skin, man. And then like, and then the next year he was at one of the Access press things, and I like started like getting antsy because I was like, I don't know how to interview him, because if I interview him, the people who kind of listen to me and whatever will know that he blocked me, and if I don't bring it up, then I'm gonna look weird. But then if I bring it up, I look weird. So my camera guy was like, how are you gonna handle this? And I was like, I'll figure it out. And then like, it's like you're round the ring, so like I'm in like one of these spots, and Kalisto is like to the right of me being interviewed, and I'm hoping that, I think it was like Finn Balor was on the other side, and I was hoping Finn was going to get to me because then Kalisto would go on, and Finn was taking longer because it was an Irish guy, and then Kalisto finished, and I'm not proud of it, I just dropped to the ground and tied my shoelace.
Oh no.
And he didn't notice, and he walked on. But I had to. There was just no way around it. So I think he still has me blocked, but that's the only, do you have any other people that have blocked you? Is there any?
Oh yeah.
Any big ones?
Naomi and the Usos, which was right after we had reported on some of their
I get it.
Situations. Shawn Michaels, do not know why.
Shawn Michaels?
No clue why. Yeah, no, why? No, no idea why. JBL, but and well, specifically that was because I said that he and Michael Cole are better with less production of their work, which was a very weird thing because that tweet was indicating that they're both very talented when left to their own devices. And Dutch Mantel, that's definitely one. I don't know why, but yeah, those are the main ones.
The Shawn Michaels one's the one that surprised me because, like, I don't really think he operates his own Twitter either. But
yeah, I don't have a clue. I was shocked. Yeah.
My favorite Shawn Michaels story was we were bringing him over for a tour in 2018, and Shawn does so well every, like, we put up a video with Shawn like yesterday of him at one of our shows talking about, you know, because I need to ask him something about Montreal, but something new. And I was like, yeah, you know, what did you talk about going to TV the next day? Like, what were you thinking? Because you know you've lied. You can't say that you knew, so you can't even embrace it. And he had he talked about he wanted to meet Taker and speak to him. And that video did like 100,000 hits in 24 hours. So, like, Shawn Michaels still draws big all the time. Yes. So we were bringing him over, and I was very nervous because you've heard the stories. But luckily for me, at the time, there was someone in NXT who was from Claymore Country who decided to put in a good word and said, you know, you'll be in good hands with Kenny. And so he arrives and he was lovely, very tired, but lovely. And then we're in the car and he was like on his own. So his agent wasn't getting there till the next day. And I was like, you know, if you need anything, just let me know, when he got off at the hotel. And he was like, oh, okay. And I was like, you know, if you want to give me your number and I'll text you my number, and then if you need me, you can let me know. And he just looked up and he was like, are you trying to get my number? And I'm like, okay, Shawn Michaels banter about trying to get his number. And then about an hour later, I got a text from Shawn Michaels. I'm thinking, okay, this is strange. And he said, hey, Kenny, weird request. I forgot to pack my hot water bottle for my joints. Would you be able to go and get me one? So, so we like went and got one. And I went and I was like, do you know what, because the crew hadn't met him yet, so I was like, it's a bit weird if one of them goes up to his room and whatever. So I was like, I'll go. So I go up and I knock his door and I hand over the water bottle, and he is just in a pair of shorts. And I walked back down to that lobby thinking, that man at 54 or 53 is in better shape than I will ever be in if I was to spend my life trying to get to that point. And he got his hot water bottle, so... But anyway,
did he ever mention, so that would have been like after his WrestleMania appearance where he showed up ripped because Vince McMahon told him that Austin and Mick Foley were going to be in their gear. So he needed to be in his gear. So he got like really, really, really ripped for that WrestleMania appearance.
He talked about it. He was like, Vince said that Austin was going to be in gear. And he was like, yeah, right. like Austin's putting on the tights.
And then Mick just wears what he's wearing.
Yeah, Mick's always in gear. Like,
yes, he is.
Every day I've seen Mick Foley's in gear. But anyway, let's give the Shawn Michaels story. Just a little bit of housekeeping out the way, though, before we get going. For people in the UK who are listening to us, we do have a great offer right now. We're partnering up with a company called Beer 52. In these times, you do need alcohol sometimes to get through. If you're watching a game, if you're watching the wrestling, especially at 1 in the morning. So you can get 8 free beers from Beer 52, 8 free craft beers. All you need to go to beer52.com/ITR and just cover £5.95 for postage. Beer 52 is the most popular craft beer discovery club with over 150,000 members. They send a brand new case out every month, cases from New Zealand, South Africa, the US, Europe, and everywhere in between. They're an independent British company and they're passionate about the UK craft beer scene, and they continue to support it during this difficult time. But if, like me, you're not like a dark beer guy, you're more a light beer guy, you can choose a light option. Your case will come with an award-winning beer magazine called Ferment, and you get a snack, but you can change your mind and pause or cancel your account at any time. So just go to www.beer52.com/ITR to get your first case of 8 beers for just £5.95 postage. Are you a beer guy, Sean? I've never asked you.
I have never drank a beer in my life.
Wow. So have you never drank alcohol or never drank a beer?
Never drank alcohol, but you know what? If I was over in the UK, I might for that deal.
Oh, big Sean. anyway, so I was going to ask you, how was your weekend? Because we talked last week and you were planning to take a weekend off. How did that go?
Oh, it was miraculous. It was wonderful. There was a stage during like my wrestling media career where I didn't take a day off for 4 years. Like I wrote every single day. I did something every single day. And now I'm a little bit more secure in my position and I'm able to take some more days off. I'm able to delegate a little bit more while still getting what I think is a pretty high level of work done. So I now try to target weekends off. My wife is a school teacher and that's when she gets off. So it was really nice. We actually went to a wrestling toy store in a city near us and it was a lot of fun. I like to go there, kind of refamiliarize myself with things that I liked when I was younger that had me in a good headspace and all that, because right now I can't really go out and socialize and do a lot of stuff like that. So trying to find different ways to enjoy myself. And that was pretty cool. American football started Sunday. That was a heartbreaker. My team is perpetually bad. And my favorite basketball team lost game 7 on Friday. So it was fun. I mean, I'd rather be entertained than not. And I was able to do that this weekend.
True. When I saw that you were going to the toy store, I was like, oh, that's such a mistake, because now I'm going to have to ask you what they've got, because I still collect.
Oh, gosh.
I still collect wrestling figures to this day.
I actually, it's so funny how I got into, I keep saying that I'm not a wrestling figure collector, but then I've got over 100 figures that I've bought over the last few months. So I am now.
Well, I think you have more than me.
So here's the thing. Like, I was going to start a weekly podcast series and it was going to revolve every week. 1 week it was going to be about wrestling games. 1 week was going to be about figures. 1 week was going to be about merchandise. And 1 week was going to be about title belts. And so that it would be like one show of each a month. That was about, I want to say maybe 2 weeks before Hawkins and Ryder started their wrestling figure podcast. And I listened to it and I said, well, we're not going to do any better than that. So we're not doing it. You're not going to do better than Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona as a personality. So I was like, we're not doing it. But I listened to his show and I was like, man, I kind of miss it. And, you know, lockdown has people in a negative headspace sometime. I was there a few months ago. I was kind of battling through some depression for the first time in my life. And as I said, I was trying to familiarize myself with things that made me happy when I was younger. And the Jax Bone Crunchers were one of those. Those were like the last thing I collected. And they're still super cheap to buy today, like even in box. So I was like, that's a pretty cost-effective hobby that I could pick up. And I've started to go check those out. And this store was actually featured in a Hawkins and Ryder video last year. And the store looked so good that I was like, okay, I need to find out where this is because I travel a lot now. I'm sure I'll be in that city. As it turns out, it's 45 minutes away from my house. So I go up there every other week now. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it.
Well, it's
Toy funny, headquarters in Lexington, if anybody ever wants to check it out.
Yeah, it's on your social media as well. It's funny because like when we met in Chicago for All Out last year, I still almost break into tears at the idea that I used to be able to travel to wrestling shows. But I think it was the day that I met you, but I went downstairs to like the kind of collector's room. And there was this guy called Bill's Collectibles or Wild Bill's Collectibles or something. Anyway,
yeah.
And he had like all these like carded LJNs. And I've always like wanted to start collecting LJNs, but thought like I always go, where will I start? And then I'll go, okay, I'll just buy the first Andre the Giant. And then for me, it has to be in really good condition. So then I go down a rabbit hole and it's like, I can't spend $350 on an Andre the Giant. Like, especially it's like the long haired one. Not even the one that I remember. Not even the singlet. But then I found that he had two little kind of things that I was like, I'm here for this. So he had some of the like mid-90s WCW figures, like Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Hart and Sting and Harlem Heat. And he had them in bags. Like Harlem Heat was $2 for the two of them.
Yes.
Hogan was like $5. Sting was like $4. So I picked them all up. And it was like $30 for all of them. And then this kid who was like 5 had Vader for $1. And in my mind, I was like, how do you even know who Vader is? I mean, I didn't say that out loud because that would make me a psychopath. But I internally thought it. And then, I don't know if anybody listening to this remembers Bendham's in the mid-90s.
Of course.
So this guy, Bill, had this box of Bendham's. And I was like, I would never collect Bendems if it was like, you know, buy one, buy one, buy one. But if I can get like 35 at once, I'll start collecting. So I was like, how much will you give me this entire box for? And he gave me all 35 of them for $70.
Oh my gosh.
So I'll lay them out at one point this week, take a picture for you and send it to you. But like they're so, Bendems are so terrible. Like, they're so bad.
Yes, they're horrible. I love, that's what I like about Jack's Bone Crunchers. They're so ugly. I love how ugly they are. Like, they stopped making them in like 99 when they did the face scans. But then they're like, you know what? Maybe we'll put some face scans on the Bone Crunchers. I'm not buying those. I'm not buying those accurate, good-looking face scan Bone Crunchers. I want that hideous edge that looks like he was stung by bees. That's what I want.
Sable's face that's like she's turned into a mutant.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And speaking of LJNs, have you seen my boss Jimmy Van's LJN collection?
I have not.
It is, oh my gosh, there's a video on Fightful. Go check it out, guys. It's titled World's Greatest LJN Collection. It is, quite frankly, the most complete collection of all time, mint on card. He's bought the Sergeant Slaughter prototype for like, I think the guy who sold it to him financed a barn with the money. There's a famed naked Miss Elizabeth figure that he bought from Zack Ryder. Ryder claims that Jimmy paid him $45,000 for it. Jimmy has denied that vehemently, probably because he knows I'd parlay that into a raise. But yeah, it's an unreal collection. Like, he has every possible figure that you could have. We did a tour through his office. It's unreal.
I mean, now I'm thinking about LJNs again. Because yeah. That day when Wild Bill, he bought all these LJNs from like a collector and he had them all on sale, and it was like, he had all the big ones like Andre, Demolition, Warrior, but like the cheapest ones were like $100 and they were all loose. And it was just like, how am I going to ever be able to afford that? But there you go. Anyway, so moving on, the one other thing about figure collecting, actually, because I think that I'm sure Ryder and Hawkins or Cardona and...
Oh, God, I gotta Cardona get out and Myers.
Covered was the Stomp figures. I've never understood why they made these Stomp figures. Like,
they're so ugly.
Like China in China Underwater or Sable in Space, whatever it was. Like all those weird. Like, as a kid, I was like, when am I ever gonna want to have Ahmed Johnson as a you know, member of GI Bros or whatever? Like,
not only that, but he looked like a cruiserweight in that figure. Like, they made him really skinny. And I get it, like, X-Men were really hot back then, and like all the animated series that were out right back then were really, really hot, but those figures weren't really compatible with one another. It was a weird line. Also, I think it's kind of funny, I was looking at all the people who did not have figures. And there's not a lot, but like Chainsaw Charlie, Terry Funk was one of them. And I thought about it. I was like, well, maybe it's because his gimmick was carrying around a chainsaw. Then I look around, and in that line, there were honest to God chainsaws that came with the figures. So it's definitely not that.
Because Sandra and I do retro ITR. We look back at Raw and SmackDown 20 years ago. And it's like, I'd totally forgotten about Al Snow's figure being taken away from Walmart or whatever because it had the mannequin head.
Yeah, that was so ridiculous.
Simpler times. Anyway, so as every week, we take three top stories that Sean has been looking into, and we discuss them. So let's go into it. The first one, obviously, is Miro. He made his big debut last Wednesday on Dynamite. He signed with AEW. I mean, it was a shock to see him, especially in that setting, but the response seems to have been pretty great.
Yeah, I thought we were going to see him really perform domestically at all for a while. I figured he was going to go to Japan, which from what I understand is still something that is in the plans, but his AEW deal is a contract. It does allow for him to work New Japan Pro Wrestling in Japan, not in the US. It's pretty much how a lot of those AEW deals work. It prohibits some other American televised dates and North American televised dates, but after he appeared, I was talking to a lot of people in AEW. Talks have been going on for a very long time. So this was in the plans quite a while back, and it's a good signing. I know a lot of people will say WWE cast-offs, but if you look up and down that roster, I don't think there's one name over the past couple of years that have left WWE, maybe the last 3 or 4 years, that either didn't let their contract lapse, ask for their release, or reject a new contract offer. That includes Miro. They were having ongoing talks with WWE and Rusev at that time, and he didn't accept their new deal. Cardona didn't accept his new deal. So there's a whole lot of people flooding the market right now, and Miro is one of the biggest ones.
It's funny, I don't often have anything to kind of comment it with myself, but I actually was talking to Miro's people last year about doing some spoken word shows. And yeah. I was kind of told he's allowed to do it when he's in WWE. And in my mind, I was like, I don't buy it. Like, I just don't buy it. That's allowed. And, you know, we kind of went back and forth, and I was like, I would need to see sort of WWE in writing saying, this is cool, he can go ahead and do it. But, and even back then, it was like, yeah, he hadn't signed his contract yet. What was he going to do? And I guess, because I guess he's had quite a rough career in WWE the last couple of years. It's been a bit stop-start. The Rusev Day thing was kind of taken away from him. So I think he's going to do well in AEW. I feel like he's not, you know, they've got a lot of guys in AEW who do kind of more spot wrestling, and he's not one of those guys. He's going to stand out.
Yeah, I like the gimmick too. The best man, I think. The way that Jericho and Miro have kind of put it out there is like a modern day Mr. Perfect. Like, he's not just the best man, he's the best man at everything, which I like that. That's something different. It's going to highlight his personality, something that WWE didn't often want to do. And then when they did, they would take it away from him. He is a giant miss on WWE's part. And I know that there are going to be some dorks that say, oh, well, he faced Cena at WrestleMania and he did this. Yeah, well, there's so much more. He should have been a top guy in that company. He should have been a main eventer in that company. He should have been somebody that they made way more money off of than they should. Just because they used him great at some points does not mean that they used him to his ability. And that could be said for almost everybody, which is kind of sad to say.
And I mean, do we know anything yet about, obviously, we've seen Thunder Rosa, we've seen Eddie Kingston from NWA come into AEW. Do we know if Miro can he do something with NWA as you want, or would that kind of come under other, I mean, because they're not televised technically, but maybe,
yeah.
Or is that a murky area that they would have to work out?
I would be surprised if he could, but I would also be surprised if NWA asked to use him, if they were like, no, you've let us use some people. But I don't even know if Eddie Kingston has a contract there in NWA. I know Thunder Rosa told me that she was pretty committed to sticking with NWA and loyal to them. But I would, if NWA wanted them bad enough, I think it'd have to be a bit of an even trade. But I don't think that allows for him to just do it on his own. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. And from what I was told, the contract is long-term, but pending an option, which means that one of the two sides, I guess, has an option for beyond a year. So I just don't know which one has that option.
Interesting times. We'll see how we'll see where he goes as the best man at the moment at Kip Sabian. WWE had a lot of cutbacks this last week. Gerald Briscoe, I guess, was the most prolific one that people were talking about. I know PW Insider put a thing out on Wednesday. I think that was the day saying that cuts are coming, or Thursday. I can't remember which day it was, but
yeah.
And then I think a lot of people were thinking it was going to be talent, but it seemed to be more office type people than talent, right?
Yes, it was. I mean, AOP got cut before that, but it was mainly office talent. I actually reached out to Gerald Briscoe and heard back from him, and he was heated. He was pretty heated. Because I said, do you want to talk on the record or anything? And he was like, well, before I do any interviews, I'm going to cool off so I don't say something that I regret. So I respect that, and I'm shocked that they let him go. He said that he had no anger, just emotion. And I understand that. Like, I'm sure that when I say heated emotion, not necessarily him like throwing stuff around, but that's a company he's been with like most of his life. So I'm sure that's wild for him. Sarah Stock had been furloughed. Mike Rotunda had been furloughed. There were a lot of office cuts made, and there were meetings within those departments of how they would handle things moving forward. And there's still just a ton of cuts. And it doesn't really make a lot of sense with some of the quarterly numbers they've reported. I know they've got some expenses with Thunderdome, but I don't quite understand why you would let a woman like Sarah Stock go when you need as much female influence on the inside of that company as possible. It's very baffling to me.
Is part of it that is there anything to do with the idea that like they're not for the foreseeable future going to be running house shows or they don't really need to do schedules for a long time? Is that a lot of the office people who are let go? And do we know like a number? I mean, how many people are we talking that have been let go?
I don't know a number, but I do know that there are a lot of positions that were intended for like 3 people, 4 people, and now 1 or 2 people are doing them. And then those people that are doing them, some of them have had their salaries cut by tens of thousands of dollars. And that's people who negotiated raises last year had it cut below what they were at before. But I don't know a number. I just know that the morale there among a lot of people is really, really low because of that. And because they heard the quarterly call, they saw the numbers, they saw the increase. And that's before a lot of the money even came off the books. So there are a lot of upset people that have been reaching out, especially over the last week, that have to sit through meetings to hear about people getting cut that are, one, going to make their jobs harder to do, and two, they're going to see their own money cut and they know that it's not necessary.
It's rough. It's really rough. And then I guess the final story is with Roman Reigns now being with Paul Heyman. We've always heard with Paul Heyman, with whoever he's working with, that he's more than just their on-screen person, whether it's Brock Lesnar or... Yeah. You know, we heard a lot that he was working with Ronda Rousey behind the scenes, even though he wasn't on camera with her. How much does Paul Heyman have involvement in the presentation of Roman Reigns that we're seeing on SmackDown?
A whole lot. I actually got pointed that direction by Louis Dangor of WrestleTalk. He had asked me if I heard anything, and I was like, you know what, I'll reach out to some people. And people on the SmackDown side said, oh yeah, very influential in even the shot of his reveal when he was with Roman Reigns. The finish of the pay-per-view where Roman Reigns showed up and won the title, and especially the promo that followed on SmackDown, he was very influential. He was also partially responsible for some of the booking with Goldberg a few years ago. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, because I don't know that I have ever liked Goldberg's booking outside of the Dolph Ziggler match in WWE, but there was a lot of stuff with Ronda Rousey, and some of that was hit or miss. Like, the terminology that she used was very odd in her promos, but she was a good performer. Heyman has been working with Roman Reigns in the past. Actually, I got threatened by WWE, got threatened with a lawsuit by them, because a couple years ago when they were setting up a program with Brock Lesnar, I was able to get my hands on a script, and it's before it was known that Heyman was a part of the creative team, and he was listed as a writer for a Bobby Lashley Roman Reigns brawl. And what I was told was, well, Paul Heyman works with anybody that's going to work with Brock and gives a little bit of influence there. And WWE was like, we don't want that info out there. We don't want that script out there, and sent us a cease and desist, actually. But then after that, it became pretty well known he was helping with creative. However, you know, with what happened in the last couple of months, I don't think a lot of people expected that to continue, but it has.
And I mean, it's a weird situation, right, because he was the head of the Raw writing team for a year, and then he gets let go publicly, and then they bring him back because he's in a big contract, but now he's back doing some writing again. So I mean, are we to assume kind of that he is still in the good books with Vince, and that they still got on pretty well? Because it seems like an odd situation.
It is an odd situation. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to know on a month-to-month basis who will be in the good favor of Vince McMahon. That's ultimately where everything lands. It is really hard to judge, like, where will Bruce Pritchard be in a month and a half? I don't know. We are one bad viewership away from everything on the show changing. We are one bad viewership away from Roman Reigns turning face, from Retribution being canned, from Bruce Pritchard being fired, from Eric Bischoff being brought back, from the wild card rule being reinstated, from a bunch of hastily called up NXT talent. It's hard for me to know who's in his good graces and how that will play out.
Well, there you go. I mean, and with Roman, it feels like we're at the beginning of a story where there's not a clear, you know, this person is going to beat him for the title of WrestleMania. It feels like we're in a kind of a weird, kind of cool spot. It could go for a while.
I like that. This is like they tried to coronate Roman Reigns so many times. This is his real coronation. This is the good content of Roman Reigns as champion, to where we're not looking ahead to say, okay, so who's going to take the title off him? One, because there's nobody that can right now. But two, he's the right person to be champion right now because he is the most interesting male character on SmackDown. You could argue that there's intrigue with Big E, but right now Roman Reigns is the guy. And that's funny because for years they fought the heel turn and he wasn't the guy. Then they do it and all of a sudden, oh, there you go, it fits.
There you go, it fits. Well, the other thing, and I don't know if there's anything on this, but the weird thing is that the last couple of months, we talked last week about the third party deals and all that kind of stuff. And one of the third party things that was going on was AJ Styles on his Twitch stream talking about how much he hates Paul Heyman. And now Paul Heyman's on SmackDown with him. I mean, does it feel like we're maybe going to see AJ getting drafted to Raw? I mean, are they going to be able to coexist in the same brand?
AJ says it's water under the bridge. I think a more likely situation that sends AJ to Raw is him mentioning that he wants to watch his kids' football games on Friday. And that plays a role. And AJ has the pull. He had the pull to get himself moved to SmackDown. I'm sure he has the pull to get himself moved to Raw. And if he doesn't, maybe he should just talk to The Miz, because The Miz has the pull to send people to Raw and SmackDown, apparently, based on the Mandy swap. So that he's the guy to talk to. From what I understand, it's water under the bridge, but yeah.
And then Mandy Rose, like you say, traded to Raw a few weeks before the draft, which is odd given because do we know the date of the draft yet? It's going to be in October, right? That's
that was the pitched idea. It was also pitched for July and August and September and October and then moved back a couple times, but no official announcement. For all I know, they've just completely ignored it.
It's the roller coaster of emotions of watching WWE on a weekly basis.
You're right.
And then this Friday, we've got Sasha coming back. She's going to come back to confront Bayley.
I hope not. Sasha needs to stay off TV. I hope it's Bayley dressed as Sasha Banks. And then she just cuts one of those promos, because that was beyond getting Pillmanized. She got Pillmanized for 10 minutes straight with that chair. Like, just destroyed. She cannot be back in a couple weeks. I mean, an MMA fighter gets knocked out and they got to take 90 days off minimum. So come on, give me a break.
I did. I did love when when Drew had been kicked in the head three times, and Charlie Caruso said, "You know, we've learned that it may not even be as bad as his professional career. His life may be in jeopardy." You're like, what? And then like, oh, it was just a hairline fracture. It was fine.
Oh gosh. Oh man,
wrestling's the best. What else have you got going on this week? What are your plugs? What's going on? Tell the lovely people.
FightfulSelect.com is a great place to get exclusive news every single day. It's the most direct way to support us. I do a bunch of podcasts every day. We do post-Raw show, post-SmackDown shows, and after every pay-per-view, NXT, AEW. We do all that at Fightful.com as well. We have a great growing MMA section if you're into that. We're going to be bringing you guys some really different content that I think that the MMA world needs under Shaquille Mejuri. We've got a news show every Wednesday, Listen, Your Boy. But this week, I'm dropping interviews with Fred Rosser, the former Darren Young, and Anthony Green, who just signed with WWE. I got an inkling a while back that he was going to sign, and I hit him up and I said, I would like to do an interview with you before I can't anymore. And we did it. It's out now. It's a good time.
There you go. Lots going on over at Fightful. And if you want to check out what we've got going on, you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/InsideTheRopes, where the Shawn Michaels clip is almost at 200,000 hits from him talking about the day after Montreal and his interaction with The Undertaker. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/InsideTheRopes. And also you can get a copy of our first issue of the new magazine, InsideTheRopesMagazine.com. So lots going on. I look forward to seeing what our stories are going to be next week. They're probably going to be as wacky as they have been so far.
I got some good stuff.
You always do. That's why we got you here. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.